through Christ because Jesus is God. That's how he reaches us. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." In John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." You see, Jesus is God, and God is in Christ. You see, in Christ doesn't mean anything if Jesus is not God. I know one of the biggest questions I always get over at the jail, you know, who is Jesus? And anytime you want to start a lesson and get people interested, just start talking about the Godhead and that Jesus is God, and everyone just looks at you like, what do you mean? It doesn't mean anything. In Christ means nothing if Jesus is not God. Second, reconciliation is in Christ. In other words, we have a restored relationship in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was reconciling the world to himself, you know, in Christ. That is the whole world. The whole world has the potential, but only in Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is the only mediator, the only reconciler between lost man and an offended God. And, you know, that one mediator means that eliminates the possibility of a second one. And in the text, it tells us that one mediator is Christ Jesus. So it's a lot. It's a big statement there that he is the reconciler in Christ. The righteousness of God, number three, the righteousness of God is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, that is, God declared him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, that is in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. You see, the righteousness of God is in Christ, and we become right with God by being in Christ. And you got to follow me along on these, because one builds on another, and I'm going to make a point later. See, we do not accept Jesus in our hearts to become right with God. God chooses to declare us righteous in his mind when we obey the gospel of Jesus. And we get into Christ, and then God declares us right and righteous in his sight. Number four, the forgiveness of sins is in Christ. Colossians 1:13 and 14, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We got to remember something here. That's another. They're all important. Unless a person is in Christ, that person's sins are not forgiven. Unless a person is in Christ, that person's sins are not forgiven. And he will not be redeemed. He or she will not be redeemed. You must be in Christ to be forgiven by God. Sins are forgiven in Christ. Now that I know that sounds like sometimes a harsh statement, but this is not as much for someone who is lost. This is just as important for us to know this as Christians, because it affects everything that we do in evangelism. If we don't know who's lost, then who's saved? And you're not saved if you're not in Christ, because there's no forgiveness. Man is a new creature or a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. When a man or a woman, when a person gets into Christ, or when Christ gets into a man or a woman, that person is changed forever. You're changed. It's a metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's that picture. You are changed forever because God says you're changed. We never have had the Holy Spirit of God in us before until we get into Christ. And that's to lead us and to encourage us and to support us and strengthen us and teach us. But on the other hand, you've never had the Holy Spirit of God in you to grieve before. And that could be a problem. You know, when you accept Christ and Christ is in you, and then you grieve the Holy Spirit of God that's in you, that can cause us problems. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If God has a spiritual blessing for you and I, We can only receive it in Christ. And I don't know what spiritual blessing you're really looking for, what you're hoping God is going to be able to ultimately give you, but they're all in Christ. Everything's in Christ. Salvation, number seven, if you were keeping count. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ. And Acts 4:12, and you've heard this many times, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now let me ask you a question. Do you plan on being saved? Do you plan on being saved? And I ask myself that question. If you and I plan on being saved, we better be in Christ. We have to be in Christ. If you want to be assurance, if you want assurance, if you want blessed assurance, you have to be in Christ. There is no other way to be saved. If you are not in Christ, you are not saved. You are not a Christian. Not by the Bible. You're not a Christian. Now, you may be God-fearing, and you may love God and praise God for that, but that doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't get you in Christ. A person that's not in Christ is not saved. They are lost. They're not even a pre-Christian, in my view. They're lost. And again, that we need to know that. Christians need to know that, as well as a lost world. Redemption through his blood is in Christ. Ephesians 1:7. In him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't know of anybody that disagrees with that. But I know there's a mix-up on, you know, how we come in contact with that blood. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it was the only way that we could ever have a chance to have this blood cover us, because it had to be shed to begin with. And the price of our redemption was Jesus' death on the cross. But we must contact the redeeming blood of Christ. And we contact that blood when we get into Christ. Now, it's also been called obeying the gospel, but they're almost interchangeable terms, obeying the gospel and being in Christ. When you obey the gospel, you get into Christ, and when you get into Christ, you're obeying the gospel, and so we got to keep that in mind. Now, I'm just going to read some text. I'm not going to read the text. I'm just going to read the place where it's at. In Romans 6:11, we become alive to God in Christ. In Romans 6:23, eternal life is in Christ. In Romans 8:1, note there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans 8:39, the love of God is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2, we're sanctified in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:4, there's grace in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:9, there's hope in Christ. Galatians 2:17, we're justified in Christ. Galatians 3:26, there's faith in Christ. Galatians 3:28, we're one in Christ. Ephesians 2:7, God expressed his kindness to us in Christ. Ephesians 2:13, we're brought near to God in Christ. Philippians 4:19, the glorious riches are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:28, we're made perfect in Christ. Colossians 2:10, we are given fullness of God in Christ. 1 Timothy 1:14, love is in Christ. And 2 Timothy 1:1, the promise of life in Christ. And I'm not even covering in God, in him, in the Lord, all those texts. These are just in Christ. Now, I said all that to say some things. That's a lot of stuff. In Christ seems to be a pretty big deal. At least it seems to be a big deal of the Holy Spirit, because he talks a lot about it. If all these great and glorious blessings and promises are in Christ, I've got four questions. First one, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you? Are you sure? Are you positive? Is Christ in you? Is he? I know. I forgot to tell you that the Church of Christ that meets at White Post That's the Camp 7 detention center that's about 8 miles from here where Jeff Dietz and I go over and teach every Sunday. They wanted to tell you, they said hi and thank you for all your prayers, and they're hoping that this weekend goes well for us, and they're praying for us, and they appreciate us praying for them. And I enjoy going out there because I learn a lot about people out there and learn a lot about myself when I'm out there. And I know I've asked the question many times. I would read Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And you get, 40, 50, 60 men, however many's out there, and then, man, you want to get the place going. Yeah, amen, praise the Lord, God, oh, praise the Lord, brothers, preach it. And I'll say, well, are you in Christ? Oh, yeah, man, and they it gets exciting. And then I say, it's Christ in you. And they go, oh, man, yeah, man, and they want to make their comments. They want to let you know what they think. And it's important to them that you know that what they have inside their head is significant, because otherwise, there's not too many people telling them they have anything significant. They want to tell you everything. But then I ask them the question, does the Bible tell you how to get into Christ? What does the Bible say on how you get into Christ and how Christ gets into you? And then it's silent. They all look at one another. They're all flipping through their Bibles. They're all looking at one another with a kind of puzzled look on their face. I say, does it say anywhere in the Bible that how to get into Christ? And again, just unless there's a new convert there that we have been teaching, they don't know. And the thing that I'm amazed at, and I visit with a lot of people from our own congregation and a lot of people in general, and I find that most people don't know how to get into Christ. Even though they may be in Christ, they don't know how they got there. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying, I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm saying they don't understand this principle of being in Christ. And I think this is why there's such a problem sometimes. This in Christ is important. In Christ is terribly important. So what does the Bible teach us on how a person gets into Christ and how Christ gets into a person? Well, the first one, how do we get into Christ? And that's in Galatians. You might want to turn there. I mean, I'm sure many of you know this, but maybe many of you have forgotten this, or maybe some of you don't know this, and you need to turn to it and look to it. The Bible says there in Galatians 3, 26 and 28 through 28, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. You see, we become one in Christ, and we become clothed in Christ when we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3. We'll start in verse 1. Romans 6, 1, and we're going to read all the way, 4 or 5 passages, verses there. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? And I like the way, the Holy Spirit writes it. At least I like the way to translate in the NIV. Or don't you know? Don't you remember? Jew and Gentile both, don't you remember that all of you who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, you're baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Christ, according to the scriptures, according to the Bible. Now, according to the Bible, back to those first two questions, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ, according to the Bible? This gets a lot of people right here. We may feel we're in Christ. We may think we're in Christ. We may understand that we're in Christ, but does the Bible say that I'm in Christ? And that's a question you have to answer. I can't answer that for you. And then the Bible gives us the instruction on what what our answer needs to be in line with Scripture. If your answer is different than Scripture, then there's something wrong with your answer, not with Scripture. And the second question is Christ in you? Now, if you want to be sure, you've got to do what the Bible says in Acts 2:38. Now, James 1:22 says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. And I think many of us know that verse. But in Acts 2:38, for a person who wants to answer the question whether or not Christ is in them, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, everyone on the day of Pentecost who believed that message was baptized. I think there was about 3,000 of them. And those 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost knew for the first time in their lives that Christ was in them and that they were in Christ. And that's important. It's important to know that Christ, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I need to know that. I need to know it and not forget it. So if you obey the gospel, if you obey Acts 2:38, you can be confident, according to Scripture, that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Now, someone might say that, I see what you're saying, brother. I see what you're saying, my friend. I see what you're saying, preacher, or whatever they want to call you. But I just don't know if I can believe that. I never heard that before. And I always tell them, I said, I just didn't tell you something. I showed you something in Scripture. It's in black and white. God put this in black and white so that we can see it ourselves, so that we can remember what God said. Just like, or don't you know that all of you were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Don't you know? We need to be reminded of this so that we can tell others. It's not just me telling someone that you need to be baptized into Christ. It's God telling someone. Now, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you are not in Christ. You are out of Christ. Also, Christ is not in you. Christ is out of you. If not, why not? I almost hesitate to say that I'm trying to take a logical biblical approach, because that's almost an oxymoron anymore. I mean, logic's almost thrown out anymore when you're trying to get it at the heart of truth many times. And I can be guilty of it too, but listen, let me ask you a question. Can someone be saved by Christ if they are out of Christ and Christ is out of them? I mean, logically and biblically, that just doesn't make any sense. Although, by de facto, many believe that. But see, we got to be careful what we believe. We need to understand why we did what we did and why we believe what we believe, so that we can help people, as David was saying Friday night, to unteach people or to teach people what they don't know, or help them understand what they thought they knew, because they only know what they know because that's what they've been taught or not been taught. And that's probably more of an issue than what they're taught. You see, a lost person or a saved person needs to know who Jesus is. A lost person or a saved person needs to know who Jesus says is in Christ or out of Christ. That's who Jesus says. Christians are losing sight of what these two words mean in general, in Christ, and what they mean in specifically in the plan of salvation, because they're important. Consequently, lost people are thinking they are in Christ and are really out of Christ, because they have never been baptized into Christ. They don't know because we are not telling them many times. And then we don't tell them because we don't really know. not in every case, but in general. And I'm not trying to put an indictment on any individual or any group. It's just, I've talked to too many people. I don't have the wisdom of the world, in my mind, but I know what I know, and a lot of people don't know this, that in Christ has something to do with your salvation. Now, I told you in Christ are two important words. So are in and out, saved and lost, redeemed and condemned. You see, they're not gray words, they're black and white words. You can't mix those up. It's one or the other. I know the other, I guess it was probably 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, I was talking to a driver. I was still driving a truck then at where I used to work at Red Star Express. And I'd given this fella a tract, that Facts in New Testament Church tract. It's been out for years. It's a good little tract, and I like using it. And I told him, I said, here, you take his home, look it over. And I'd been talking to him for a while. You look at it, what you think about it, and get back to me in a couple days and tell me what you think, and then we'll go from there. So he waited a couple days, and
It was time to start in the morning, and you know, you're in that break room, and there's like 13 or 14 drivers in there, and he's laying for me. And he runs in there, he's got his Bible in one hand, this tract in the other, and he slams the Bible down in front of me and slams the tract in front of me like that. And he said, and this is what he asked me. He says, "Are you telling me just because I don't get baptized, my God is going to send me to hell?" And he purposely did it with everybody in there. Okay? Now, you know, the hush, you know, no papers rattling. You know, everybody, it's the big, you know, it only going to take one little word now to get things going in 100 different directions and not get anything done. And so I said, "Well, gosh, man, you must have misunderstood something, or I must have given you the wrong track." I said, "The Bible does not teach that God will send you to hell just because you're not baptized." And that's true. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. I said, "Could you open your Bible to Romans 6:23? And he said, "Yep." And we looked at it, and it said, "The wages of sin is death." I said, "Do you agree with that?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. You're separated from God because of your sin." And we went to Isaiah 59:1-2, you know, that sin separates from God. You know, it hides his face. We can't see him, and he can't see us. And I said, "Do you agree with that?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, man. God's not going to tolerate that sin." And I said, "Well, God, I want you to," and this is what I'm trying to tell him, and I'm telling me, and I'm telling us. God never sent anyone to hell because they were not baptized. God sends people to hell because they're still in their sin. Sin will not allow a man or a woman to get into Christ or Christ into them. That's the issue. So how does the Bible say that you get your sins washed away or taken away, as I asked him? Well, now he's getting a little nervous. Well, the Bible teaches our sins get washed away at the time of our Christian baptism and our immersion. That's how those sins are taken away. When we get baptized into Christ, then we can get Christ coming into us, and then we get into Christ. And you got to think about this, because sometimes I think we really get sidetracked with the issue. We'll just keep going. You see, if baptism, and I've heard this many times before from very nice men, some very good ladies, some people that I love desperately, and you've heard it too, they say baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. They believe they need to be in Christ, but they say baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Being in Christ has something to do with salvation, but not getting baptized. Now listen, if baptism has nothing to do with salvation, then being in Christ has nothing to do with salvation. Did you hear that? If baptism has nothing to do with salvation, then being in Christ has nothing to do with salvation. Your righteous life will not get you into Christ. I've met some wonderful people. I mean, maybe some people that I admire, I wish I could be more like them. But that doesn't put them in Christ. Your righteous life in Christ will definitely help keep you in Christ once you're in Christ, because that's what we're called to be, righteous. We're called to, you know, it says, you see that a man is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. That's as a Christian, you're not going to make it if you just think you can get into Christ and then just forget the covenant. You're not going to make it. But don't tell me how good your boyfriend is. Don't tell me how good your neighbor is. Don't tell me how good that preacher is you listen to on television, how nice he is and how well he speaks, because that doesn't mean anything about whether you're in Christ or not. You are baptized into Christ. We are saved by Christ and no one else. You're not baptized into Paul or Apollos. I remember 1 Corinthians, yeah, that Bible talks about that. You're baptized into Christ. And you are not baptized into a denomination or a church, because the church can't save you. Christ saves you. And when you are baptized into Christ, as I recall in Acts 2:41, the Bible says Christ adds you then to the church, adds you to the kingdom. We need to read Acts 2 again, and Acts 22 and Colossians 2 and 1 Peter 3 and Mark 16. They're all texts that associate baptism and salvation as together. They go together. If baptism has nothing to do with salvation, if baptism has nothing to do with getting in Christ, if baptism has nothing to do with getting Christ into us, I think we need to have our vision checked. I think we need to get the spiritual cataracts removed and start looking at this issue with a 2020, you know, biblical vision. instead of saying things that aren't substantiated in Scripture. To be baptized, and this is just, you know, a thought that I have, and you may disagree with it, but, you know, just leave it at that. To be baptized or not be baptized seems to always be the source of great confusion and debate. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I remember the first time Phil Strunk explained it to me. He showed me. Remember, he showed me in the book. He showed me in the Bible what it said. It made perfect sense to me. I didn't even know very much. I didn't have to know a lot. He explained it. He showed what it said. That's what it meant. I knew what to do. And so it just seems so simple. But it's not many times, you know, with so many people that we talk with. But you see, I think the bigger issue, in my opinion, is are you in Christ? Okay, are you in Christ? Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are baptized. No. It says for those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. Those who are in Christ. Now let me challenge you. If you're not in Christ today, get into Christ today. You don't want to delay. Now you need to be careful though. You need to be careful. Because, you know, and I don't have time to talk about all these issues that are connected with being in Christ. In Christ encompasses more than being baptized into Christ, but not less. Okay? Much, much more to it than just being baptized into Christ. Yeah, I'm in Christ. Okay, I'm done. It also is a comprehensive statement of the Christian faith in Christ. It's connected to, I mean, you think of all those terms that I use, those 25 things that I mentioned about those things that you get in Christ, all those things, and more. I mean, there's more times it's mentioned. It's a comprehensive statement of the Christian faith. You not only have to do something to get into Christ, but you also must be something to stay in Christ. I think in Christ, you could also say the words, it means commitment and discipleship and holiness and all the other men have been preaching all through this week thus far, this weekend, all those attributes and all those things we ought to be shooting for and aiming for and striving for. You see, it's all in Christ. It's all because of Christ. To be in Christ is more than just knowing what Jesus taught. It includes becoming who Jesus is. That's a lot harder. and you know, we wonder, that's the other thing that affects, you know, our evangelism. We don't look a lot like Christ, so it's kind of hard for people to follow Christ. But if you're in Christ, we're going to want to look like Christ. We're not just going to be satisfied to get in, because being in means becoming like him, wanting to be like him, longing to be like him. Friends, knowing you are in Christ means so much to a Christian. And I realize I'm probably talking to more Christians this morning than I am lost people. But this means everything, knowing that I'm in Christ and that Christ is in me. It is a challenge and a call to be more than I thought I could be, being in Christ. See, I'm somebody in Christ. I'm somebody. I'm just not baptized. I'm in Christ. I'm somebody because of Christ. Back when I was 19, I was on a softball team down in Baltimore. And we were a good ball team. It was a real good ball team, and it was slow pitch, so it wasn't real man softball, but it was, you know, no, I'm no good at fast pitch, so, you know, it's just too hard to hit, but it was a good team. We had a lot of fun, but this was a good league. We were a good team, and we're 12-0. We had these orange uniforms. They were the ugliest things you ever want to see, but you could see us in the next county. We stood out, all orange. I mean, completely orange. We looked like a road crew. I mean, it was amazing. But let me tell you what, every day I put that uniform on, every win, every time I stepped onto the field, I got prouder and prouder because I was a Brown. And the uniform defined me as a Brown. And when I played third base, I didn't care who was batting. If they challenged me, I better back up, man. I'm going to run this down your throat. I stepped up because I'm a Brown. And you're not getting this ball past me. You may knock my head off, but I'm on a team that is undefeated, and I'm winner, and I'm part of it. And I'm not going to be the one to help this team lose. I'm going to be part of this team winning. And so I got the uniform on. I'm in the game. I'm part of the team. And that helped me play better than I ever played in my life. I mean, there were times when the ball would come down there. I almost had my nose broke twice. The ball hit the glove. All I could do was get my hand up in my face, and it knocked me over. And it's a great catch. I didn't even see it. You know, but the idea was that ball's not getting by me. It may knock me over, but as long as I'm careful, I can go to the hospital. They got stitches. I can get back in the game the next day. But I was a part of something. I was in an organization called the Browns that meant everything because we don't lose, we win. And you know what? Everybody watched us. Everybody wanted to see what the Browns were doing. Everybody wanted to be at the Browns games because, man, those guys were winners. And I felt like a winner. Well, I know you can see the application. When the greatest thing that ever happened in my life is when Phil convinced me that I had to get into the water and get immersed into Christ. Phil Strunk. The greatest thing that ever happened in my life. Because I realized for the first time when I was standing in that water in that little church up in Slainsville with them curtains closed and they're singing some song on the other side, for the first time I was going to be somebody. And I'm getting into Christ. And I didn't have a full understanding, but I knew something big was happening. I knew I was putting on a uniform that was going to mean something. It meant something to me then, and I remember one person told me years ago that, Chris, after after a year or so, you'll mellow out. You'll balance out. You'll get to a level where you can operate. You can't be this excited, you know, your whole life. I said, God forbid. I've never been more excited. Every victory gets me more excited. I want to stay undefeated all the time because I'm in Christ. I'm not on the Browns now. I'm in Christ. And if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. But sometimes we forget. We think we're running out there naked. You're not. You're in Christ. Be proud to be in Christ. Know that you're in Christ. And when you go onto the field, you're not going to have to tell anybody. They're going to know. They're going to see it. But then the ones that don't know, you tell them because you're proud to tell them of God's record. Well, we're done. But you could never make a better decision, my friends, if you're not a Christian, than to get in Christ. And you got to get baptized into Christ for that. You see, that can happen right up there in that eternity ward, as it's been called. We bring people in the eternity ward in a shower room over at Camp 7 with a watering trough. And you know what they do? They take all their clothes off because they got nothing else to change into. They strip down completely naked. In 4 years, we've immersed 169 guys over there, and about 9 of them had just their underwear on, but the rest of them all naked. Now I'm not preaching for naked baptism Sundays or anything like that, but it's hard enough to get people to come forward. But I think it's a good picture. They're so interested in getting on the team, all they want to do is throw everything off that encumbers and get in the water and get into Christ. Now, why not you? It's a lot easier for us. Just walk up bare. We've got stuff to put on for you. But you can't leave nothing on in the sight of God. You got to take all that off. And you just got to leave it there in that tank. Thank you for listening. I hope if you want to become a Christian, you realize you're going to have to get into Christ to do it. And if you want to get into Christ to do it, you're going to have to get baptized to do it. So I hope you do it today. Thank you.